today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Going Where You Haven't Gone Before.
See, as you do so, open up your Bible, say Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going back again to this, to the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11 has been coined the Hall of Faith, play on words for the Hall of Fame. Well, these are the people who are famous in the body of, famous in God's kingdom and famous in the scriptures as people who were able to accomplish great feats as a result of their faith, through and by their faith. And so we call that the Hall of Faith. And let's pick up here in Hebrews 11 chapter, starting at verse 8, with the father of faith, who is Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, which means not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And based upon these three verses of scripture, Hebrews 11, 8, 9, and 10, we started teaching from the subject, going where you haven't gone before. My media people told me that was too long, so you can just drop it before if you want. Just going where you haven't gone. All right. And so I do believe that if you're part of this ministry, if you're connected with us, if you're part of this church, then God wants you to be an above average person. Amen. You all need to understand that. When I first studied statistics, I found out you got the mean, you got the mode, and you got what's the other one? The median. And basically the median is average, right? Okay, half above and half below. And so I found out that it is not the will of God for his people to be average. Can you say this? Say, it's not the will of God for me to be average. Now, you need to understand. So that meant when some of y'all heard me tell a story, when we were going through our economic problems and in the early days of our marriage, my initial goal was to be middle class. Okay. And every time it looked like at that time, we talking like in the early 80s, you know, a middle class family was, it may have been like, you know, $24,000 for a family of two, you know, and then Pastor Marsh would have a baby and knock us back under. Okay. Okay. And so then we'd be like $24,000 for family of three. And oh, we middle class again. And then Pastor Marcy have another baby and knock us back under the poverty line. And I started realizing that middle class wasn't good enough. And then I got a hold of the word of God where it said, God said, his people shall be above only and not beneath. Oh, come on now. That means we're supposed to be at the top of this thing, not in the middle. The middle gets squeezed, y'all. Y'all need to understand. The middle gets squeezed. Okay, people, you know, the rich rule and the poor, a lot of people, the poor people at the bottom, a lot of people heart goes out for them. But the middle gets squeezed. So I know everybody in America is trying to be average and the middle income and all that. I'm telling you, that's not good enough for God's people. I know I'm stretching y'all. Okay, that's why this message is called going where you haven't gone before. So I teach it's the will of God for you to be rich, be above average. Know why? Know what I found out? I found out that just having enough ain't enough. I found out when you just have enough, the tires go on you, but you don't have enough to get the tires fixed. I found when you just have enough to keep the car running, the transmission go out, and you got to get the transmission fixed on another car, and just enough ain't enough. Oh, come on now. I found it's the will of God for you to have more than enough. Say, it's the will of God for me to have more than enough. Say, it's the will of God for me not just to have my needs met, but to meet somebody else's needs. Now, it was in the 80s, early 80s, when I got a hold of this kind of word. It was different than how I had been raised in the church. I mean, because I had been raised to just hold on after a while. It'll all be right when we get to heaven. And, you know, and I don't mind the load I'm bearing and the load I'm carrying. And I may not have this world's goods, but I have Jesus. And I found out I could not really represent God in the earth the way he wants me to if all I had was Jesus. And then so I had to find out that Jesus, in terms of economics anyway, that Jesus became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. I found out scriptures that, you know, the Bible says that there was a poor man who by his wisdom, the city had great deliverance. But then it goes on to say, and nobody remembered the poor man, which tells me that you got to have money to have influence. Okay, come on, y'all. I don't, regardless of what side, the only reason why Donald Trump is president is because he had money. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on now. He was able to buy folks who didn't even like him. Okay, the money brought him influence. Money is influence. And God needs his people to have money so we can influence things and influence people. If there was a one page ad in the state paper, and you see it tonight or see it tomorrow, it says free seminar on Friday down at the Hilton Hotel for 100 people, free seminar by multi billionaire John Stewart. You ain't never heard of John Stewart? No one that he was on. Okay, John Frank. Okay, John, you don't have to know John Frank. A lot of us will be interested in going to the seminar just because we heard he's a billionaire. He got something to say. Come on now. Am I right? Why? Because money brings you influence. Money makes people hear you. Of all the churches, y'all need to understand this here. Some of y'all, you're going to try to count after I say this here. Some of y'all passed 10 to 15 churches tonight to come here. You don't even realize it. Some of y'all, some people don't even know. Between the next block down and St. Andrew's Road, it's like four churches right along here. Y'all ain't never noticed them. Why? It's not because they are any less spiritual than us. Come on, y'all. One of the reasons why y'all notice us, because I had enough money to pay $100,000 for a digital sign out there. Oh, y'all, come on now. I'm telling you, money makes a difference. A lot of people say, when we got that sign, people say, I didn't even know it was a church back there. But that $100,000 helped me get your attention. It's influence. Most churches in the United States, contrary to what we see, most churches in the United States, 99% of them are less than 100 people. A lot of people don't realize that. Most churches in the United States have less than 100 people. The reason why you know of churches that are so much bigger is because we got the money to get on radio. We got the money to get on television. It doesn't mean we're preaching any better gospel. Doesn't mean we're any closer to Jesus. Money makes a difference in the earth. I'm trying to get y'all to understand why God wants you to have more so you can have more influence. A couple years ago, Senator DeMint, I went to they called a bunch of preachers together and had us to have a meeting. Senator DeMint wanted to meet with several of us. And so we got there, and it was with quote-unquote black preachers, Pastor Black. And so they got there, and all these other preachers were saying, well, we need you to give us some money so we can do this and do that. And he wasn't, conservative, very conservative. He wasn't trying to hear that. And I said, he said, what are you doing? I said, I ain't here for no money. I said, I thought you had something to tell us. I said, I don't need your money. I said, we got 40 acres of land. We've built this. We've done that. I said, and I've done that. And at that time, we had a school. I said, we got a school. We have that school program. We've done. I said, I haven't asked the government for one dime. He said, well, I need to talk to you. Influence. It's the will of God. So all I'm telling you, I started talking about economics. Y'all know when I get on this, I can keep going. What I'm trying to get you to see is the will of God for you to be above average. And so God wants you to go places you haven't gone before. God wants you to do things you have not done before. And that's what he told Abraham. I want you to leave the place you are. And so he sojourned and went to a place that he didn't know where he was going. Because he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builders and makers is God. Like Star Trek, God wants us to boldly go, at least where we haven't gone before. And so we said, you're going to have to get used to God doing new things in new ways. You can't get into routine. If you're going to be a person who walks by faith, you can't live by routine. Okay, somebody was in the cat skinning business. I don't know who that was, but whoever was in the cat skinning business, they came up with a phrase that said, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Do y'all know who was in the cat skinning business? Somebody who was in the cat skinning business came up with that phrase. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You got to understand, when you walk and live by faith, there's more than one way for God to get those resources to you. There's more than one way to own that building. There's more than one way. Come on now. And so when you walk by faith, you have a creative mind. When you walk by faith, you see opportunities. I can't remember. Somebody came up to me after noon service this morning, and I said, "How things?" They said, "I'm making my business. It's coming along slow." He said, "But I'm still plugging away. We're trying to get this thing." Okay, I remember somebody who started a very unique business, and they said, "We really, you know, we're working hard." I said, "That's all right." I said, "You're gonna get there, because the Bible says a dream cometh through the multiplicity of business." A dream cometh through the multiplicity of business. In other words, sometimes a lot of little things before you get to the big thing. So that's why the Bible said, don't despise the day of small beginnings. It's a lot of little things before the big thing happens. Before you get on a big stage, you don't see a whole lot of little stages. Y'all ever notice? I was talking to my son Chandler about this yesterday. Y'all ever notice when I introduce these artists, by the time they come here, many times y'all know them, and they on all the gospel records and all. But when I read their bios, they always talk about open up for this one, or open up for that one, open up for this one, open up for that one. A lot of times, people they open up from don't even know their name, or didn't know their name at the time. But a dream coming through the multiplicity of business. Come on. They had to do a lot of little stages before they got on the big stage. And before anybody was opening up for them, they had to open up for somebody. Are y'all listening to me? And so God, you have to go where you haven't gone before and do things you haven't done before. You got to allow God to cause you to be creative and think outside the box. Religion makes us get stuck in routine, but one thing more powerful than the word of God is tradition. The Bible says in Mark 7:13, we make the word of God of none effect by our tradition. So when God wants to do new things for you, it may not be what you're traditionally used to or how you're used to getting it done. Let me move on here. So in order to go where you haven't gone before, because I didn't teach last week, it requires faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Most of us should know it by heart. It says, for we walk by faith and what? Come on, say it again. We walk by faith and not by sight. And this walk is talking about how we live our lives as Christians, how we progress through life. We do it by faith and not by sight. Now, the sight here, it refers to our sense realm. And we know we have five senses, right? Okay, when I point to them, it's always easy to remember when I point to them. Okay, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear, we can touch. Those are five senses. And that's how we connect to the natural. That's how we connect to this physical world. We connect to this physical world by what we see, by what we smell, by what we taste, by what we hear, and by what we touch. So we connect to the physical world through our physical senses. We connect to the spirit world through our faith. That's how we connect to the spiritual world. That's how we connect to the kingdom of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God. Without faith, it is impossible. So you cannot please God without faith. Faith pleases God. You living by faith pleases God. You connecting with God by faith pleases him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he what? Exists, that he is. Okay, watch this. And this is what makes the difference between the haves and the have-nots in the body of Christ. This one makes the difference between religion and relationship. Because in religion, they stop at the first part. I believe that he is. But when you get relationship, I go a step further. Not only does he exist, not only is he, but he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This means now I believe that God will actively get involved in my life. Glory to God. That there's going to be some tangible benefit to me seeking him. There's going to be tangible benefit to me connecting with him. There's going to be tangible benefit to me obeying him. He doesn't just exist. He exists for me. See, that's what makes the difference between the haves and the have-nots. Everybody believes he is. The scripture says even the devils believe and tremble. They know God exists. But do you believe that God is a rewarder? Say, God is a rewarder.
God is a rewarder.
When God introduced himself to Abraham, the second time he said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. I'm your exceeding great reward. And it almost looks selfish. When God tells Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. The next thing Abraham said, well, what you gonna give me? He said, what you going to give me, seeing that I go childless and this Eliezer is going to get all my stuff, is going to be my heir. He says, if you are my exceeding great reward, I'm expecting you to give me something. Oh, man. See, religion tell you, well, you shouldn't expect no. When God told Abraham, I'm your reward, he said, well, give me something. You got to know God wants to give you something. Look at your neighbor and say, God want to give you something. Hallelujah. God wants to give you something. He don't just want to exist out in some euphoric sphere somewhere. He wants to be involved in your life. And these are just foundational things that you need to know and become absolutely persuaded of if you're going to go where you haven't gone before. So faith causes God, pleases God, and it causes him to rejoice over us. So we got to increase in faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Paul writes, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you. Why do we thank God for you? He said, brethren, as it is meet. Meet means that it is appropriate. It's in order for me to thank God for you. Why? Why is it in order for me to thank God for you? That your faith, what? Groweth exceedingly. He said, I'm so grateful to see you growing in your faith and faith growing in you. And that the charity or love of every one of you abounds towards each other. So it pleases God for us to grow in faith. Nothing makes a pastor happier than seeing people grow in faith. It really excites me when I see somebody who came out to church. Man, I remember when they came to this church, they didn't know anything. Boy, they smoked more reefer than a little bit. And they just got high every day. But look at them now. Glory to God. They serving God. Glory to God. They didn't got that glassy look out their eyes. Glory to God. And now they walking straight. Now they witnessing. They'll come on. Nothing blesses the pastor more than to see somebody go from here to there. Okay. Some of y'all, you need to please me a little more. You need to excite me a little more. You still got that glassy look in your eye. But it blesses. And so Paul says, I'm so grateful that you're growing in your faith. You should not be stagnant in your faith. You should not be stagnant in your walk with God. Some of you heard me tell a story about the little boy who every night he would go to bed. And he kept falling out of bed. He kept falling out the bed, and he would run into his parents' room and say, I fell out the bed again. And every night he would fall out the bed and would upset him. He'd go back. And so his father said, now I'm going to take you back to bed. I'm going to see why you keep falling out the bed. And so the boy fell out of bed again, and his father said, let me explain to you why you keep falling out the bed. You're falling out the bed because you sleep too close to where you got in. That's why some of y'all keep falling. Because you're just sleeping. You're staying too close to where you got in. Come on. You need to come on in a little bit further. You need to grow in your faith. You keep falling to the same habit because you're staying. See, you're making excuses why you can still do that and be saved. Just come on in a little bit closer. Come on in a little deeper. Well, I can be saved and still go to the club. I can be saved and still a small grave, huh? I'm sorry, we. It's a new generation now. Okay? I can be saved and still drink, and you are fighting for your right to be carnal. You are fighting for your right to stay close to where you got in. So you're always slipping. You're always falling. And all this represents the realm of salvation and the fruit of the Spirit. And you just want to stay right here where you got in. And God said, come on up a little higher and come on in a little closer. Come on in a little deeper, because there's more that I want to give you. There's more that I want to show you. And there's further I want you to go. And it's not going to happen as long as you stay shallow. Who am I talking to here tonight? So lack of faith, when we ought to have grown in faith, displeases God. If faith pleases God, then not having faith displeases God. Mike Murdock puts it this way. God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. God's greatest pain is to be doubted. God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. God's greatest pain is to be doubted. So faith pleases God. Unbelief displeases God. Hebrews 5:2. So Hebrews 5:2, it addresses this issue. Okay, let me set this up, because there's a word that we don't use it today in our modern vernacular. It has become a politically incorrect word. So we have all kind of words that we use for it now, but I'm still going to use it in the spiritual sense. And that is the word retarded. To be retarded means to be developmentally delayed. And this concept of spiritual retardation is addressed in the scriptures. Look at it right here. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such, have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, by now you ought to be further along. So even though we say things like, well, you know, everybody grows at their own pace. What is that pace? Because apparently there's a certain time for when the time you ought to be. There's a certain time you ought to be here, not there. There's a time you ought to be higher, not lower. There's a time you ought to be deeper, not shallow. There's a time you ought to be strong in your faith and not as weak in your faith as you are. There is a time that God has on his time clock for you to progress spiritually. And my question to you is, are you progressing at the rate you should be progressing? Are you growing at the rate you should be growing? If not, you are suffering from spiritual retardation. A natural child comes out and the first couple weeks, he may not be able to hold his head up. He may not be looking at the mom and daddy, looking all over. But by that time, 3 months, 4 months, and still can't hold his head up. And then you look at the child. The child never smiles. The child never looks in your eyes. Okay. They have something. Help me out, social worker. I was a social worker many years ago when we investigated child abuse cases. We had something. They had a diagnosis that they called back then. FTT, failure to thrive. That's when this child by now ought to be developing more and ought to have social skills and connecting with the parent and looking and touching and aware of its environment. And that child is just there and is not conscious. And they used to call it failure to thrive. How many Christians are suffering from FTT? You are supposed to get to the place that you walk and not faint, where you run and not be weary. You are supposed to get to the place that you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you got on the whole arm of God, and you are able to stand. So it is the will of God, and we ought to be on a quest to grow in faith. Because that's the only way I can go where God wants me to go and do the thing God wants me to do and be above average. I made up my mind. I don't want anything about me average. Amen. I don't want to have the average church. I don't want to have the average income. I don't want to have the average marriage. I don't want to have the average family. I don't want my children to be average. I don't want nothing about me to be average, because I'm in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. The Bible says he's made us kings and priests unto our God. Kings are not average. Amen.
God wants to take you places where you've never gone before. But it's going to take faith. You have to maintain your faith at all times and in all situations along the way. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that on the way to your destination, you may have to face some temporary places and circumstances. But get ready, because God has already cleared the path for your journey. Order today for your love gift of $25 or more and get the bonus message, "Are You Down for the Journey?" by Pastor Chandler Bailey. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.